minutes that were in your packet. Some of them didn't get it, some because they get a cat packet, but if you didn't have them, any questions or concerns on those? You read through them?
Yeah, I have them. I'm fine with them.
Hear a motion?
Motion for the minutes.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved. Jeff, you have anything to report?
Do not.
Jeff, not here. Shelley, anything? Tim?
No.
Anything unfinished let Deb, we need to take care of?
Nope.
Okay, moving to new business. The paper here, we're not gonna take a lot of time with. Debbie passed the paper around, vote your conscience for chairman, vice chairman. Gather them up afterwards. All right, major subdivisions?
Yeah, we have two of them. First one, Rockwood Creek Estates. This one originally had preliminary approval back in 2010, 24 lots. Most of you remember, there were some issues with the road, so that design has been changed now. Road now kind of comes in a little bit differently. They've got that worked out. So Terry has submitted a revised preliminary plat showing on the new layout of the lots. And then a final plat for first 10 lots there for phase one. I don't know if Terry or Steve wanted anything to add about that.
Yeah, the only thing we need is, of course, this is grandfathered under the old ordinance. And, you know, they've set time constraints as far as you have 10 years to get final approval, I guess. And now we have final approval on phase one. I guess that gives us another 10 years to record the plat. Is that right, Jeff?
That's correct.
Now, the preliminary, we had preliminary approval. Now we're getting revised preliminary approval. Can we get a time extension on the other two phases is what we're...
What the ordinance says is from the time of preliminary approval, you have 10 years to get your final plat in unless the planning commission grants an extension based on...
I mean, we had some issues...
Oh, we're aware of the issues, right?
You know, approval to even get started on this subdivision. We got those worked out. We're moving forward with phase one. You know, we're just wondering if we can get a time extension on the other two.
You see any problem with it? Debbie, you see any problem with it? Anybody in the commission have any, do we need to make a vote on that, or?
Yeah, I think it would be good. We can put that in the record.
So I need a motion to...
I move to grant the...
What's the extension for? How long?
Is a request or...
Could we start to 10 years right this time, or with that asking too much? We have two more the way it stands now.
I mean, phase one is, you know, is gonna be final approval. We're just talking about the other two phases.
Yeah, we're starting phase one.
You wanna go to 10-year extension, or do you wanna go...
It's gonna be rough with all the...
Do you need all 10 years of it, or you think you want...
Yeah, we don't know. Probably not, but just, you know...
They're all getting up in age, and it's like...
I mean, I don't wanna create any precedents here, but I'm saying, is that something that...
Yeah, it's up to you guys if you wanna...
Well, after reading the 2018 report, we don't have any development, so I go ahead and move to give you a 10-year extension.
Anybody second?
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved. Now, do we need to approve the plat?
Vote the revised preliminary and the final for phase one.
Once or twice? Just once?
You could vote all of them, I guess. It is two separate plats. The revising, revised preliminary for all 24, so I suppose that should have separate action, then you would vote.
Okay.
You approve all that.
So we approve this first?
Yeah, 24 lots, and then you could...
So we're looking at approving the first plat, did you see, the one with the more lot, the greater amount of lots? So I need a motion for that.
I move that we approve the 24 plat.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, let's go to plat number two would be the one that shows the 10 lots, right? That'd be the one we're doing right here. Any questions on that? We've got the road in up almost to where you're gonna take the other road off.
It's already in, we're starting the road.
Right, going up the other way.
Yeah.
I thought I saw it, yeah, okay.
So in this case, I would hold the plats until we either inspect the roads and draw them, or if they choose to bond them, I would hold the plats.
Anybody have any concern with this? Motion?
I'll make it.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? So moved. I guess
we have to vote. We didn't say all in favor. You didn't say all in favor.
Sorry about that. That's why I have an attorney. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thanks, Liz.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, now we have a signed committee update.
No, you've got another plat.
Oh, I'm way out of whack.
This is another subdivision. This is one of the older ones. This one got preliminary approval back in 2009, so they're under that same 10-year window. They're bringing in a final plat now for final approval of all 25 lots.
Have any problem with this at all, or going well?
Be the same situation. I'll hold it until they either bond the roads or have them all built.
Any discussion on this?
How many lots is it?
25, I believe.
25 lots, okay. I don't have any questions.
Our motion?
I'll make the motion.
Got a motion, second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved, Jay. Now, can I go on?
Now you can.
Signed committee update by Mr. Jonathan Kessler.
I gave copies here. Want to pass this through. We are diligently working in a complicated new sign code. We're making progress, but we felt last meeting like if we didn't have some additional meetings that we probably would not accomplish this to get you guys the final by April, which was the goal that we started out with. Your April meeting happens to be, what, I guess, the April 1st?
Mm-hmm.
So we added three more meetings. So we're gonna meet every Wednesday this month and one Monday. So I'll go down through relatively quickly. The spreadsheet that you have is a front and back. On the front is the permanent sign terminology. And when you go to the right of the definition, those are not vetted through the committee yet. They're just preliminary. What I tried to do was to show what was allowed with the current code. And so what you want to pay particular attention to is this section, the second column, that has the definitions in it. And that's what we've been spending our time as a committee working on. And the other page that you have, this page, should match that column. So you'll see that we successfully voted affirmative as a committee to approve the purpose statement and what a sign means. So the definition of a sign is a new definition. And then below that, all of those other definitions on this document are preliminary at this point. We have not, as a committee, taken any action on them. But I wanted to show the committee, or show the Planning Commission what process we're using to develop the definitions, the sign definitions, as well as every time we come up with a new definition, there's some new terminology that we feel needs to be explained. So as you go through the sign terminology list, you'll see on page 2 at the bottom, there are two different options for what we're considering to define as off-site sign. Same thing on page 3, there are two different definitions for what we're recommending to ultimately say is the definition of what is visible from a public place. So we haven't, as a committee, taken action on those yet, but happy to have the Planning Commission read through this and weigh in on any of it. It gets fairly complicated to try to do this much writing in a committee setting, for me at least. So we're muddling through it, and we made good progress at the last meeting, and it is our anticipation, or my anticipation, that, you know, Deb and Mr. Getty will be taking our sort of lay term world of what we want the definitions to mean, and they will have to massage that to give it the legalese at some point between now and March, when somebody will come back in to you. I'm actually going to be out of town for the next Planning Commission meeting, so we'll talk about who on the committee will come and give you an update for that. Going back to the report that I gave you a copy of, we met with Linda Puffenberger Zerbe and had an extensive conversation about the state's impact or working with the state in sign regulation. And so we're moving in a direction that Deb and I both like, which is to create the code, but then also, maybe not simultaneously, but in conjunction with that, come up with some working document that will be a clear or more clear way to let business people and the community members know just what we are trying to achieve with the sign world. So you'll have the sign code regulation, and then you'll have this little, for lack of a better term, little drawing and definition and explanation that'll be the process for going through creating a sign in Garrett County and in the watershed for sure. But along with that, we'd like to outline what the state regulations are and when the state gets involved in certain aspects of the sign world. So, last time I was here, we had a question from Mr. Weisgerber about whether the state would allow signs to be put closer to the traffic ways to avoid having to have a bigger, brighter sign. So I asked that of Linda, and she said that there are circumstances where the state will allow a sign within their right-of-way if they have an exceptionally wide right-of-way. And so we don't know whether we will be able to address that in this section of the rewrite. Probably from a time perspective we won't, but Deb has asked the state for right-of-way maps that show the width, the wide sections of the 219 right-of-way, in particular from the bridge north to 42, and there are, as Morgan pointed out, some other sections of 495 that are within the watershed as well that have really wide right-of-ways. So she put options on the table of everything from some sort of fairly vague at this point application process to get the state to agree to that kind of thing. And then she said they do from time to time relinquish right-of-ways if they are not going to use them. So we got the copy of the maps. I'm not sure that will enter into what we're going to report to you on as a committee, but one of the offshoots of it. Love to have any feedback that you all have on the definitions and the chart that's in front of you. So while we're working on things, the last thing we want to do is get to the end and have everybody not understand why we're moving in the direction we are. But the short idea of that is it changes everything when you have to come up with a sign code that's based upon not reading the sign. And so when you take content out of the equation, that's why you see defining terms having to do with whether it's located on the property or whether it's in within so many feet of the primary business or home. So those things are all what we're trying to use as the way to make sure that signage is allowed to the extent that the community needs it to be able to find businesses. I don't know about you, Tony, but when we went up to that funeral home yesterday, I couldn't find a sign. I drove around it three times. I couldn't find the sign. I'm like, we say a sign on this building.
Yeah, there was one. Nice time to do it.
Somebody saw it. I never did. So we're trying to present what is reasonable. I have done a little photo essay of the signs in the county and taken the time to go out into the community. When we get to the right side of that chart, when we're getting to the sizes and distances and setbacks, which we hope to do next week, week after next, we'll have to certainly weigh in on this, but I can tell you that there's a lot of evidence that the 100 square foot sign maximum that we currently have in the code is completely ignored. There are countless signs that are out there that are 125, 150, 200, 300, 400 square feet. And it's my interest to create a consistent, good regulation that we can all live within and try to make it enforceable, which is another part of the equation that I was going to bring up today to the Planning Commission. It will be helpful if we had some feedback on your appetite to give the sign ordinance a little more meat than it used to have as far as making people accountable to what the regulations are. And so as a future phase of what we're working on as a committee, we will be presenting enforcement options to you that, quite frankly, may ring quite a bit more stringent than what our existing code is, which is basically somebody in the community's got to report it, and then the Planning Commission the Planning Department looks into it. So we're going to, in some cases, we're going to try to make that a little more, give it a little more teeth. So hopefully you all are on board with that. If you don't want us moving in that direction, then by all means tell us to save the time, because that's been a big topic of discussion for the committee members. So I put in here as number five, we'd love to have you weigh in on whether you think it is appropriate to see fines and loss of sign rights for those that are not following the regulation. Any other enforcement options that you have. And then I go down through in number six, really what we're going to be doing at each of the meetings. So happy to have you guys participate in that. Happy to see Tony come to our last meeting. So as far as the due date, still our anticipation that someone will present it to you on the 1st of April. Again, I'll still be out of town until the 10th at that point. If it gets delayed, and I don't know how much work you have done as far as scheduling time. I know that Deb said she has some people that are waiting for the results of this before they can put signs up. And we knew that if we didn't get more meetings in our world, that we were going to miss that spring hopeful deadline. And I hate to impact businesses by getting them into the June, July time frame without allowing them to know what our sign code is going to be like. So I expect you guys have to have a meeting and or the commissioners, or I don't know if it can be jointly, but you might want to start looking at how you can schedule that into the hopper so that we don't have to wait until fall to really have a resolution to what the new sign ordinance is.
You want to change one thing I noticed, Mally. If you look on D, on his chart says March 6th, it's supposed to be April 1st. I just got that, Jason.
Right.
I attended their meeting at the request of Smiley, and they are really a very diligent group trying to figure out how to, this is a very complicated situation. If you can see, I really didn't know that made a different sign.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still more, and I think there's more than this when you get down.
On the back, I didn't even talk about the temporary, but the temporary signs are on the back. And those are, quite frankly, the ones that most people have objections to.
Right.
You can see there's a bunch on the bottom left that I haven't even gotten into writing the definition for, because under Mr. Getty's suggestion and the way Deb and I have sort of been approaching it, We want to keep this as simple as possible, and if we need to write regulations for those, then I believe we can, but I felt like the ones that we have on top are the ones that are most impactful. The one that we have ignored to this point is, that we know is going to have to get a bunch of our attention is the LED sign. And I expressly didn't make that, I don't see an LED sign being a temporary, so we're back on the front page, but the LED, if you read the definitions, it will be allowed by the definition of what a sign is and what sign materials you can use. When we get into the illumination factor and some of the other components of the new technology that allows basically a television as a sign, we're not to a point yet where we can be comfortable defining what's allowed. We have an expert in that field coming in on the 25th of February. We tried to get him in January and he couldn't make it then, so that is going to be one of the last things that we probably can put a definition to.
Now, the question I have, and I came into the meeting a little later, but Debbie was looking at the International Building Code.
Zoning code.
We're having to go. I mean, I understand if it's in there.
That was just a resource to right. sort of emulate. It wasn't something that we were required to.
That was my question, because if you.
Yeah, not required. It was a lot more robust than I
didn't get that.
Be.
I mean, I came in right about the time you guys were talking about that. And I,
We've been trying to steal from any good idea that's out there, and that one had some definition ideas that were very helpful. So.
One thing I will say to this group is they definitely need to familiarize yourself with what's happening here, because this is going to be, it could get in the end contentious, especially if we start to go with some kind of enforcement thing. The problem, I don't think, when I was there, I asked a couple of dumb questions, I guess, I don't know. I asked one of the questions was, how do you reach back, or do you reach back? And I guess, you know, I don't know if they can do that, but we're going to open this up, and if we're not prepared to intelligently discuss it with the commissioners, whoever, it's going to make what they did, the hard work they've done, you know. And I really believe, I think, and Smalley, I know Smalley has put a lot of time into providing this information, but unless we read over it, you know, I mean, we're not going to be educated enough to give intelligent answers back to the group when they come back with another proposal. And I mean,
I'm confused a little bit how we're going to present this to the public in a manner that they're going to grasp and understand both the legalese aspect of why we can't say you can't put XYZ on a sign because, you know, it's a freedom of speech issue, and then the complexity of why we're defining the terminologies the way we are. So might be interesting.
Well, that's what I said. It is very, yeah, very touchy situation, and I think that we got to be real prepared to, you know, you're going to have some people that are going to be a little ticked off at some point. You're going to have some people that don't, like you said, don't understand what they're trying to accomplish. Carrie.
I just wanted to throw out, Smiley he's putting in a tremendous amount of work, and I want to commend him for that. Yep. But like, for instance, we can't describe a for rent or a for sale sign as a temporary sign because that's the content that's there. Yet we have to figure out a way that you can have for rent or for sale signs in, because that's important. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I just wanted to put it in the words that make, you know, we can't say for rent or for sale, but we want to be able to have some of those with certain dimensional requirements or limitations, and it's tricky.
It is going to be tricky, I think, but, and we have to do it pretty comprehensively to include that information and to try to help the public understand that Supreme Court case, you know. So I think we don't let this group do all this work and not put our time into it.
Right. I mean,
and that's where I think this document, I can't find it, I was going to show you our example of it, but this document that will sort of be the layperson's guide to signage, it will say, if you're talking about a for rent sign, then it falls under, you know, on-site sign designation, and you're allowed these sizes. And so we'll be able to eventually answer those terminology issues in a successful manner, I think. But I don't know that that document should or can be done in conjunction with the code. So there's going to be a communication gap there.
Yeah, so what will happen is the committee will give it to you on April 3rd is actually the date. And then you guys will look it over. If you don't have any major edits, then you can go ahead and schedule a public hearing on it. You might, you know, want to take some time to read it. If, you know, I assume we'll get you a draft before that point. But if you need extra time, you might need to schedule some time for that. Before, you have an option to do the public hearing. The commissioners do not have an option to do a public hearing, so you'll have to decide that. If you want to do a public hearing, I always recommend at least 2 weeks notice in the paper with the document available to the public and comments to go through my office and questions to go through my office for that 2 week period to make sure that people who see it can call in and ask questions.
Would that help clarify anything if you explained it? I don't know. Because with the video, with the point by PowerPoint thing on it, you know, I don't know. I just think it's so broad that I don't know how you would define it. Limited to, you know, I don't know.
Am I interpreting what you said, that the Planning Commission may have a public hearing or they don't have to have a public
right.
hearing, but the commissioners must have a public
must.
Hearing? So that's one of the things that you need to decide, whether you want to have two
right.
public hearings.
That's what I'm saying.
Or does
that's
one
what
one
I was saying. I mean,
yeah.
it would be better for it probably be a softer landing with the Planning Commission having it, wouldn't it?
What if we had one meeting with the actual rules and then another meeting with the layperson's guide? I don't know if we can do that or not, but that would be interesting.
Well, and I'm just thinking out loud here, like, why couldn't we just casually release the layperson's rules? I mean, do we have to?
They have to be based on the code, in my view. We can't create the guide until the regulations are the regulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
And so, I guess we could try to put together some kind of temporary
sample.
This is where these signs fall.
Illustration
right. of right. that, and that would be valuable, I think.
Yeah.
If I were to make a recommendation to the Planning Commission about the meeting. If you're looking at a timeline that's trying to satisfy giving the community a sign code that they can use going forward before our summer season, I don't think you have time to have two meetings, two hearings. I think the Planning Commission could and should take action maybe weeks after it gets presented to you. Maybe it's your next monthly meeting, that's up to you. But I would certainly hope that the commissioners schedule the public meeting for as quickly as possible after you guys approve it. So whatever that timeline means.
You really anticipate the private community being concerned at all about it?
We have most stakeholders at the table, but I have memory of the POA taking exception to the speed at which several different code changes occurred, and I don't know where they're at in the process. I know Morgan and whoever else comes on when he's not there have been engaged and are presumably on board with what we're doing, but until it goes back to that's the one point of difficulty that I think we could get into, and I don't know what's appropriate. That's for you guys to decide, is the amount of time for the community to consider it. It's a vast change from our existing code to what we're going to come up with, but we're not driving that, you're not driving that. The Supreme Court change is what's driving that change, and so the majority of the change we're just trying to put in terms that work for the community.
Ad-libbing or adding on to what Smiley was saying, he put a lot of a lot of time into taking pictures of signs all over the county. And I had a discussion with him, and it's like, well, if there are signs that we know exceed the number of square feet, shouldn't the new square footage match what no one has been alarmed about, you know, so that whether they have a permit or not, you know, they'd be able to get a permit for it. And I think maybe that's the direction that, you know, I can't speak
just to clarify, the larger signs, are you talking about the larger signs exist in the watershed or the larger signs exist outside?
Larger signs exist in the watershed in particular, but using some other signs as examples as to, well, do you want to be able to allow this or not? But there are some signs that we know that are already in the watershed that no one's complained about, but they don't comply. And so if the new ordinance would allow them to comply, then in your enforcement, you could require everybody to get permits for their signs so that they can. I just have a problem with grandfathering something that's there that was never permitted or didn't meet with the permits. It seems like you got to figure out a way to get everybody on the same page, and that's the hard part.
Yeah. And so I have created some enforcement language that deals with that grandfathering aspect, and it doesn't sunset it, but it does put the onus on the sign owner to say, hey, this sign pre-existed the 1975 zoning, or this sign has been here since 1979 when the regulations allowed it. And so one of the chief changes that Deb's going to have to figure out how to deal with is just about every sign, a temporary sign or a permanent sign, is going to have to be permitted. Doesn't have to have a fee, doesn't have to, but the day and age when you could just put a sign up is probably not going to happen. That's up for discussion, and we'll be making a recommendation on that. Some signs we wish we could. The temporary yard sale sign, we really wish we could just ignore it and watch it go up, but somebody's going to call that on the difference between that sign and a political sign or something else. And so we're trying to design a sign application process that can potentially just allow them to go online and say, I'm going to have a yard sale for a week, I need a sign, and you know, put it in, you print it out, you're issued a sign permit number, and that sign permit allows you to put it up. So it wouldn't require time of Deb's world, it wouldn't require anything other than somebody getting that, but that's another likely offshoot of.
Well, somebody's going to have to read it at their end,
right.
The application.
Right. Right, and if you beep up permitting enforcement, then, you know, I'm not getting
more
staff. So then you'd have to charge to pay for more staff to do more enforcement.
Yeah. Or you might need an additional staff to do it if it gets too complicated and consuming. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
She wouldn't charge $1,000 a piece so she could get a bigger department.
But like I said, Smiley put on the dates when the meetings are. Mm-hmm. The times and everything. They have at the chamber meeting, a chamber building. Mm-hmm. If you could make it to one of them, it's worth going because it's tough for me to grasp all the. I was on one of the sign committees a long time ago, but that was to give enabling legislation to start. But that was a lot simpler than what these guys are trying to do.
There's also a website on our department website that's dedicated just for the sign. So I put up audio from those meetings, the agendas, and the minutes, so you can always go on there.
That's a good idea.
I thought the article in the paper was really good.
It was good. It was nice.
I had nothing to do with that. I
haven't read last week's paper yet, so
I found out when one of the members said, hey, my name wasn't on there, and I was like, what article? I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't write it.
I didn't write it. I don't know. Nobody asked me about it. It just happened.
But I think really we need to take time to read over the information that you're being provided with and come back with any options at all. And once it gets more detailed, like the 100 square foot 10 by 10 is, you know, a pretty good size sign. I know there's a lot more. There's some that are bigger than that, some, but I keep hearing what Karen was saying. I'm like, because I ask that question, you know, how are you going to go, you know, and that to me is the toughest thing you have to deal with is when you get into enforcement and you drop back and try to go back and bring everybody in compliance. I think that's going to be a real sticky issue.
The 100 square foot is broken 50% of the time, but not by a ton, probably by less than 35 or 50 square feet. The biggest failure of our existing code, it says that you can have 10% of the building face can be signage up to 100 square feet. And that just doesn't work. You know, we either need to do away with that 10% difference, because if you look at a bigger building like Hughes Market Square, and he's got thousands of feet of building face, and he's got probably 300 or 400 square feet of signage on that face, but it looks completely appropriate. It's not negative in any, by most people's eye. And when you look at how development is being done in shopping centers, Morgantown to DC or wherever, they all have way more than 100 square feet in a big building. If you look at the Lowe's signage, now granted, outside of our zoning district, but if we're trying to get a level of consistency for people that drive from 68 to Oakland and trying to get everything in harmony, they have, I can't remember my numbers exactly, but I think it was around 600 or 700 square feet of signage on the face of Lowe's, and not quite as much on Walmart. But when you look at the scale of buildings, that 10% limitation to 100 square feet just needs to go away, in my view. I'm not sure what the ultimate recommendation
could be. Percentage of square footage.
Well, the percentage works, probably. Yeah. The 10% works,
right.
But the 100
right.
square foot and limitation doesn't work.
Yeah. Right.
For big buildings.
Yep.
The other thing that I've said I was going to do it, I didn't get it done yet. But for instance, if you think about Market Square, Hugh Wumble's place down there, there's signage on each of the businesses within that you can't really see from 219. And I guess I'm of the mindset that if it's not readable from the public right of way, I don't think we should have anything to do with it. It shouldn't be our business. Mm-hmm. But then trying to define that. So I'm going to spend some time with Jim Jones and see if he can give us a...
You know, back when we did this the last time, the big concern was we didn't want billboards in the watershed. So that I think that's why we came up with 100 square feet. But we just didn't want a billboard. You know, and then once you leave McHenry, then there's billboards out
sure.
there. We just
you don't call them billboards anymore, right? What do you call them?
They are now off-premise outdoor advertising sign.
You going to have an acronym for that, too?
ODS.
I'll learn that at the meeting.
And the visibility issue is the one, Karen, that I put in here, and I think we can adequately do that. I mean, I like the simpler definition of devices being visible from a public place when it is commonly recognizable, readable by means of graphic presentation or alphabetic pictorial symbols or representation without the use of any magnification. So if my eyesight's better than so-and-so's, but as long as, you know, you can't read a sign that is in Hugh's window, from my perspective, if you're not on his property, it should be regulated as a sign.
An alternative to that could be so many feet away from the road or
right.
something like that too.
Yeah.
Your way's probably better simply.
What else do you need from us, Mally, at this point?
Well, I would just really strongly suggest maybe by at your next meeting that you determine whether you're gonna have a public meeting or not and try to nail down some dates, because by that 1st of March meeting that you guys have, you will have pretty good indication from Mike Getty and from Deb when the final product is going to be available, and you know, I think it's prudent to try to be ahead of that part of the timeline.
Is it appropriate for the commission to be reporting to the commissioners that here's the schedule that we're looking at, so they can start looking at what their schedule would be?
Well, I'm usually that conduit, plus Jim Heimball is usually our designee.
Okay.
Here. He just, it's legislation, yeah. So he's down when General Assembly is up. Open. He's gone every Wednesday.
The only thing I keep thinking, Smiley, about the public hearing, if the Planning Commission has one, it would be probably less contentious, but I don't know that for a fact. but.
Well, see, it's not an either or. It's just the planning commission in addition to.
Are you having two or one?
That's what's right. That's what's said. And I'm not leaning, I'm not one of the public hearing. I'm just looking at it from that perspective.
I really think that, except for like some of the business community and the real estate community, most people aren't going to be paying much attention until they want to get put up a yard sale sign and they find, what do you mean? What do you, why didn't I know about that? I mean, they're not going to realize it, unfortunately, until after the fact, because they're just not going to be paying attention.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If we roll it out differently.
And how are we going to catch it if we're not driving all over the place looking for yard sale signs? Which I can already tell you, we're not going to do that.
and that's where this little visible license star or something that shows that it is a permitted sign within the process. You know, if it has one of those, you know, I'm seeing a fluorescent little star that's on it or something. If I drive by one, it's got a fluorescent star, it's a permitted sign. If it doesn't have one on, it's not. And maybe somebody will print the stickers and put them on.
Like with this yard sale, but something that's up for less than 48 hours, can that be exempt?
I think the only time it matters is when it aggravates somebody, and you know, back into my definition of enforcement, I'm not going to suggest if the committee follows my recommendation that one committee member or one community member can be that offended person. It's going to require two or three. And so my suggestion is going to be if two or three people call the planning commission and say this sign is a problem, then they got to do something about it, find out whether it's got a permit. If it is up and nobody says a word and it gets taken down, then she doesn't know anything, nobody does anything, goes on, then that's going to be 99.9% of the time. We just have to allow the process to be equitable for every sign, and I think we can do that. So, I mean, from my perspective, the Planning Commission should decide whether to have a meeting, and if you do, it should be fairly quickly so that the commissioner's meeting can follow it up within a matter of weeks. So, if you were to decide to have a meeting, a public meeting, if you got things given to you on the 3rd of April, and you said we're going to have a meeting on the 17th or 20th of April, and the commissioners are going to have their meeting by mid-May, that's probably as aggressive a timeline as would work. And I can't really see that would be objectionable to that.
Except if the Planning Commission has a meeting, and there are general objections by numerous people that cause you to say, gee, you ought to go back and rewrite that section, taking that into account, then, I mean, that would be the purpose.
And that's the issue, that's the one problem you have by having that double meeting, is you're going to have that, but I was looking at it as a two-edged sword. It's either you deal with it up front at our meeting, so you can fix all the problems to go to the commissioner's meeting, or you take your chance at the commissioner's meeting, everything goes all right, and we passed it, and the commissioner's passed, and it's going to go. You're probably carrying it to the commissioner's app. Everything's all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted.
But yep. Once the committee turns in its final report product to you April 3rd, the committee's out of it at that point. If there are suggested rewrites from your meeting, then that's between Mike Getty, Deb, and you guys to have done.
I understand that, right.
To decide what the planning or what the commissioners are going to actually present as the proposed regulations.
Well, they can always say, keep the committee going if they choose to do so. But
I mean, you feel pretty confident you will have that finished by
then? I think so.
Okay. Because I was trying to.
He's the one guy that can get buildings built on a schedule. The only guy that can get buildings on a schedule. So that's why I believe the schedule works. Nobody else can do it. Smiley kid.
Well, I haven't said anything, but my thoughts are not to have a public meeting. For our commission, to try to
get things moving. Believe me, I'm not.
It's not like we're trying to restrict something. We're trying to update the regulations because they need to be updated. And I think we're all in the same understanding that we're not here to try to restrict business from doing business. It just can't be to the extreme, you know.
But something we've done in the past, we've kind of opened up this meeting or made this meeting one of those public hearings too.
Would that work?
Anybody interested come to the planning commission meeting on such and such a day.
We could just, make it longer, a longer meeting that day.
Add it to the agenda.
Something, I wish I could remember what it was for. Something that I was involved in doing when we were developing at WISP. And I can't remember the exact thing, but let's just say that maybe it was when we were adopting the PRD ordinance as part of the subdivision ordinance to mirror what was in the zoning ordinance. It might have been that, it might have been something else. But I remember John Nelson telling me then, said, you know, the planning commission could have a meeting. They don't have to have one, you know, it has to go on like this, but maybe it would go over better if you had an informational meeting, and that gives people an opportunity to talk about it, and maybe, here you go, Smiley, maybe the side committee could sponsor an informational meeting, or even the planning commission, that it's not really a hearing, but it's informational to get input somewhere near the end of that process, because that does give the public an ability to weigh in and express any concerns that they have in a slightly more informal way, but it still gives them an opportunity.
I don't mind that. I don't mind doing that even April 3rd. It's just, I'm just saying,
If you guys took action on April 3rd to say, yeah, we agree with the committee's presentation report and we're going to submit that as the regulations, would you advertise them in the Republican or elsewhere at that point to try to get public comment even without a public meeting? So, I mean, well, as long as that happens, we're giving the community the ability to participate.
My general course of action is putting it on the website, putting it in the libraries, putting it at all the town councils, and releasing a press release that this document is available for review.
Gotcha.
And then there will be a separate press release that goes from the commissioner's office about the public hearing and that sort of thing. But
is there an
mine would be different.
Educational component that we could put in the beginning to talk about a little bit of the history?
Why we're doing this? Yeah.
And, you know, the goal. I think that the framework is so important, and I think it really helps ease everyone's
I think
fears.
Deb's got that pitch down really well. She does that, you know, has done that repeatedly to the meetings that we're at. And so, yeah, I think that's an awesome thing.
Like in a paragraph. It's just something.
Pretty plain language, but just so that people have some context, I think is really important.
Some of that may have been in the article in the paper, but I don't remember exactly what it said.
And Deb doesn't know either.
I think some of that was in there.
Might have had some informational kind of like
who
that,
wrote
too.
The article?
What I could tell, it was Renee Shree. From what I could gather from when I read it really quickly, it seemed like she read the minutes and went on the website and gathered things that way. And she's been in commissioner meetings when I might have given a brief update. So, yeah, that's probably how that happened.
Let me ask a question then on the other side of this. Where do you stand on the timeline? Do you think as far as your rollout on April 3rd or whatever, is it possible to get it moving fairly quickly and get?
I think so, but we have the unknown of the public. I mean, it depends on what's in the document. So if the document beats up enforcement and businesses don't like the enforcement, or if it allows for bigger signs or more LEDs and the citizens don't like that, that's a component we can't plan for, and that could potentially slow things down.
So I guess what I'm looking at is, let's say we got bring it to us on the 3rd of April. Put it out in the paper, put it in the whatever, you advertise it for 2 weeks at that point, right? Should we have a second meeting in April to discuss any possible comments and stuff to that, so we can keep moving it forward?
I think you should keep that in your back pocket as a possibility.
You know what I'm saying, Smiley?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's smart.
if you go, because I don't think anybody here has a problem coming in, you know, the second day. I mean, you might not get paid for it, but by, you know. But the thing is that, you know.
We get paid a lot of money.
Don't tell anybody.
But I just want to make sure that if we do that, if that 2 week window of time, then that second meeting can become, we can advertise it as a informational meeting to go over some of the stuff. I don't know how much feedback you're going to get. Maybe none. If you get none, then we don't have it. You know what I mean? I mean, I think you guys are going to submit something that's probably, you know, put together well enough that there's not going to be a whole lot of questions. I think the biggest thing is going to be some of the silly stuff. I say silly stuff, the temporary sign, the stuff that goes on. I think that stuff's going to get more contention than probably once people understand it's there. You know what I mean? If they read it that, but some won't even read it. But if that's okay with you guys, I wouldn't mind looking at it that way, just to see how, if we don't get any comments, then we just call the meeting off. I mean, is that okay with you? I mean, I know, you know, don't want to plan, you know.
Has to be after April 15th for me. First 15 days in April, I'm back to a desk. Yes. I can't move. So unfortunately, I'll need to have those documents. Maybe I can make some comments ahead of time, but I won't be at the April 3rd meeting.
We do have 5 meetings in February now. Our next one is Friday. Then we meet again next Wednesday. And anyway, we scheduled 3 extra meetings in February. So we should have a better idea by the time you get to your next meeting of where we are in the process and how close we are. February is going to be a nose to the grindstone month for this committee.
Well, I appreciate all the time putting into it. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was impressed with the meeting. Like I said, it was, well, and everybody spoke up. There's a lot of people.
Good group. They're really working diligently, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And the good thing is, by Deb setting in on it, we have real-time information coming, so that'll be.
And do you know if Mike's able to come to the next meeting?
Not Friday. He will be at the one next week.
He'll be at the previously regularly scheduled.
I don't think he said he was coming to, well, yeah, next week. The 13th is the regularly scheduled one. But I think he could make it to some of the extra ones too, but not this Friday.
Okay, anything else? Molly, Karen?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Look at your agenda. How are you coming with the comprehensive plan?
That's next on the agenda.
Oh, next on the agenda.
Okay.
That's actually why I came.
You're welcome to stay. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Deb, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, if I have to, I will talk about that. So, you know, AECOM kind of slowed down at the end of the year, and we sent him a letter, and he contacted me to let me know that he got another job. He is no longer there. So he moved to Virginia, and we now have a new project manager. The new project manager, however, is doing the comprehensive plan for Dorchester County. So I met him via phone conversation in the last week. Monday, he sent me a draft of the land use. I'm just reviewing it right now. Actually, I haven't looked at it since I just got it on Monday. I'll review it for the data to see what we need to contribute, get it fleshed out and get that out to you. It sounds like he's going to be better at this than Chet was. So that's where we are with the comprehensive plan.
How far is that back in your mind?
He thinks, I was asking Chris that, he thinks he can still meet the deadline. But
I got a gut feeling that Chet wasn't doing a whole lot either.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Do you feel that way?
I really don't know what to say. I want to think about it before I say something on the record.
Why would you do that?
It never goes away.
It never goes away. Maybe I should think like that.
I told Deb when I came in, I thought I kind of had a gut feeling that something's going on because we weren't getting anything. Nothing email, nothing. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, Karen, it's not going as well as we thought it was going.
Just say it's at a standstill. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it's better that he is gone. We do have a new guy.
I definitely think it's
so
better that he
is
gone.
Are there some chapters that have been?
Apparently, they started all of them. They have all the comments.
Yeah, we have seen some.
The only thing that I've seen is part of the land use. Now, what Chet sent us didn't have a whole lot of new things in it. So we weren't necessarily pleased with that chapter. So he was supposedly working on it, and that's when the call came in that he was gone. So this other guy was working on it, and he just sent me something new, but
so
I haven't reviewed it yet.
I'm interested in participating in the review of the draft. That'll be published, or it's after they get it, or
we're going to go through it
ourselves.
So it'll be every comprehensive plan or every planning commission meeting. We'll be doing it for as long as we need to. Then we'll be doing public hearings, and we'll be getting drafts out to the public. Yeah. And
but when you're doing it, like, let's just say next month's meeting, maybe there'll
right.
be some chapters there or something. Will those be released to for general public to look at before you discuss, so we can discuss with you, or?
Well, what's going to happen is I'll be sending them copies so that they can read it between meetings, so that I don't want to hit them with something new
right.
when they sit down and
right.
then have the public at the same time. I want them to have a chance to read through and give their edits. And then when they discuss it during the meetings, public's invited and can discuss as well.
But it'll be brand new to us. So, okay, I'm just trying to get in my head. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's why I thought I could get, because I'm like, I haven't been to any of these comprehensive planning meetings for a while, so.
Yeah, but basically we just haven't seen anything, so we can't share it. We don't see it.
Yeah, we're not seeing anything either. So.
Yeah.
Is that all we're going to say about that?
That's all there is to say about that.
Nothing more to say?
Nothing more to
okay.
say about it.
Good girl, Liz. All right, transportation
okay.
priority list.
Transportation priority list. All right. You have in the packet the last year one. I have sent this out
down.
As per normal to Garrett Trails, to the municipalities, and to our roads, our local roads, to get feedback on anything they want changed. I've heard back from Garrett Trails. Their priorities remain the same. They're not recommending any changes to this document. The municipalities meet this evening, so I think I gave them a deadline of sometime next week to get me their thoughts on it. The roads hasn't mentioned anything new at this point, but I'll nail him down for certain to make sure. We have one citizen request, though, that came in, and it's basically already on here. And I think it's Tim's pet peeve as well. So under safety priorities, number 5, the intersection of 135 and Turkeneck Road intersection, what we've done in this document, and I think it's been the last 2 years, we identify it as a safety priority, that it has some issues there, and we recommend the addition of an acceleration lane westbound. The citizen is Ned Holloway, also agrees with that, but also asks for speed limit change. And I apologize, I didn't make copies of these. But basically, about 3 properties east of the intersection with Swanamont Road, he suggests at that point on 495 that the speed limit change to 35 miles per hour. Once you get to the intersection with Turkey Neck, it goes back up to 50. He also recommends a series of warning signs, dangerous intersection, merge ahead, hidden entrance, any or all of the above kind of signs before you get to that intersection. So what's before you is, do you want to add that, these 2 recommendations to the merge lane that you've already recommended? At that location, reduce speed and warning signs.
Actually, just to the east of the intersection, there's a 50 mile an hour speed limit right there. So it encourages people to speed up coming up to that.
Yeah, I think what Ned said is they come down off 495 and they just barrel through that.
Right.
Let's go ahead and
last
pass that around. This is his drawing.
Yeah, but 495 intersects 135 at the caution light, so 495 goes away at the Altamont caution light. So, but people coming westbound on 135 have to stop there, and they're coming up the hill from a dead stop. It's people coming from 495 in Swanton that come through the caution light already at 50 mile an hour, 55. So when you come up around there, it'd be, yeah, I don't know if 35 is appropriate, but I would think a 45 or some speed limit change probably would be appropriate because it's blind.
So what I'm passing is a map that Ned had made that shows, he had highlighted the areas where he wanted the speed limit change and where the warning signs would go, and then the merge lane, which we had already suggested anyway.
Because the acceleration lane helps going westbound, but if you're turning eastbound there, you do have that speed issue. I go that way in the fog. When I know Swanton Hill is going to be foggy, to turn left at the top of Swanton Hill is not a good thing.
Right.
We need anything on this?
Do we have to vote before you go?
Got. Trying to think. Is four enough?
Oh, Shelly, you voted.
She's leaving.
Oh, you're leaving?
Well, I have an appointment at 2:30.
What else do you have to vote?
It's already late.
So I didn't know if we.
What else do you have to vote on? Just.
The transportation priority list and the annual report are the two things.
Four's enough, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know off the top of my head. I should. Okay, four's enough. Let's
one,
vote
two,
for
three,
the
four. Five, six.
And then we can do an email vote if we need it. Let's do that. That's okay.
That's all right. I left it run a little long today, you know.
Where's time control, Tony?
Nope, I'm losing it.
There's too much going on.
Time control.
Just need a...
All right.
I'll have to leave 10 to 3.
Okay, use time control, Tony.
Okay.
All right. Well, these two shouldn't take long, but we do need to decide, do you want to add Ned's recommendations to what you already have in here for that intersection?
I don't mind the speed limit, actually. I think that might be a good idea.
Yeah, it's appropriate.
The warning signs don't bother me either.
I'm definitely
so
for
is
the
35
signs.
Appropriate? Back to your question. You weren't sure 35 was the speed you would want it there.
I won't go 35 through there. 40? You put 35. Everybody's going to ignore that.
Well, actually, he's trying to slow him down even coming into the caution light there. So, yeah, that's...
It might make you a little uncomfortable, but you probably should go 35 through there anyways, in my opinion.
Hey, you can make that proposal. They could change it.
Mm-hmm.
They think 35 is not, if he's not appropriate or safe or whatever,
mm-hmm.
45 is better. But yeah, something less than.
Is your transportation plan just relating to where there's a state highway? Or do you do something with
it's,
county?
It's yeah, it goes right to the state, so it's the MDOT transportation letter.
So if there's an issue like
the intersection
of North Glade Road and Glendale Road, I feel like I'm going to die every time I go through that intersection.
Yeah, but
that's
two county roads,
Cole,
so
yeah,
that's a Jay Moyer question and Paul.
I like it better at night because I can see lights coming, but the rest of the time it's like,
if it was an intersection with the state highway and a county road, then we can...
Okay.
Put it on this list.
That's kind of like top of the hill there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So are you okay with the 35, or do you want it to be...
Sure.
I've got three nods.
I'll just tell whatever what you guys decide, fine, right?
I'm not going to get 35 through there.
35?
Maybe 60 closer.
You're part of the problem, Jeff. There you go. Now you know who's doing it.
Now you set it on the record now. It never goes away.
Oh, I forgot about
you. You should consult with your lawyer.
You're lying.
I was just kidding. Make it 25.
Well, Well, that's the debate. Is it 35? Is it 40? Is it 45? I mean, three of you were okay with 35.
That doesn't matter.
Are you? Doesn't matter to you? All right, so
and
we'll,
definitely some, there's issues that's an issue that need to be resolved, and that's one way to resolve. At least people then become aware of it. If don't wait 35, at least you're going slow down. That's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying here, so you're part of the recommendation. So recommendations come from everywhere. You are to the commissioners, and you are one of them. So I can change it to add this, or is there anything else that would fit in these categories? Other safety priorities, any trails, any sidewalks, anything that we don't have listed that you feel needs to be included this year?
I didn't see anything.
What is the Meadow Mountain connecting deficit? What's that mean? The trails don't connect.
Under trails. The ultimate goal for Garrett Trails is to connect from the state park at Deep Creek. Well, they want it all the way through, but all the way up. So Meadow Mountain is a series of connectors for that trail system, and part of it's done and part of it's not.
Yeah, I thought that was.
That would be connecting
the
rest of it.
Friendsville Pedestrian and Bike Bridge, is that going to be one of these $10 million bike bridges they have at the lake? Or is that?
That bike bridge, where is that? Oh, wait.
That didn't cost that.
Oh, the Friendsville one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a biggie. That would be crossing the Yawk. And
then
down
at the park?
I think it's not
page
quite at the
four,
park. It's before
page four
that.
Explains it there,
yeah, it's not quite. And I think I have a picture of where it is, don't I?
Whether it describes it or not.
Yeah, you can't really tell where that is. But
not on here.
Yeah, it goes along with the trail. So what they were thinking was having a trail that goes along the Yawk all the way up into Pennsylvania. But Kendall Trail is on the other side of the Yawk. So you'd have to cross the river at some point in time. And of course there's a bridge, a car bridge there, but they were looking at a different bridge.
Looks like I read an article someplace, was it there yesterday, that the state of Maryland had some money to spend in Allegheny and Garrett County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was different projects that the governor already chose and put in his budget.
Right.
But does state highway have anything extra? Because some of this stuff been on here for years, a lot of it, you know what I mean?
Right. I don't remember if any part of that was SHA money.
I didn't read the whole article, I just saw the headline. I said, that's good.
Yeah. It's probably things that have been on the shelf for a while.
Well, there was money for the facilities at Garrett College.
Oh,
yeah, the Performing
Arts Center.
Arts Center.
And mm-hmm. There was some educational stuff, some stuff at Southern Northern High Schools, I think. I forget what else.
Yeah, some renovation at Southern High. It was like 500,000 or something like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Some other things like that. I don't recall exactly.
I'll tell you what, I was at Garrett basketball game Monday night. That is a beautiful facility, and I can't believe our enrollment's only 525 there. That blows
mm-hmm.
my mind.
It's a beautiful facility.
I mean, the whole campus is beautiful now with the library and everything else, and 525 students all enrolled there.
I thought there was more. If you'd asked me, I'd say 1,500.
Oh, yeah, no. Because I was wondering because I knew that they were things were tight, you know what I mean? And you couldn't pay for the fuel in the car for 525 students.
I think they're doing a little better with the retention of students, but you know, it's difficult when you come here from a county that's not rural.
Right.
Whole different way of life and living, and then how do you keep those students on the right track? And I think they have a tough time with some of those things. Not those students particularly, but the transition from high school to college for a lot of students, no matter where they come from.
And Kaiser has that issue with Potomac State. There's nothing to do for college kids in Kaiser. You know, at least at the lake, at least Garrett College, you have the WISP, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have opportunity to work and things like that. There's some recreational things, and there's some folks trying some things in Kaiser. There's Terry Stevens is trying to get a whitewater type thing started on Potomac there, Main Street extended down the 21st lane, and float the river and try to do something with Potomac State and have a curriculum there maybe, or have kids come and help and work and things like that.
And I know that the chamber has did almost like a meet and greet with the new students that came in to like try to show them what they could do if they stayed here for the summertime and worked and that sort of thing.
At GC.
Mm-hmm, at Garrett. So, but I think really, like, Garrett, we need to get that trail done from Garrett College down through the fairgrounds. And I mean, it's so dangerous. Some nights driving on Mosser and they're in the middle of the road. It's terrifying.
Garrett just submitted a preliminary application for a grant to get that moving.
Yeah.
Let's hope they get it so we can get it done.
Would he be acting on this then?
Yes. Your action would be to vote to add in the speed limit and warning signs to safety priority number 5, and if there's anything else that you want to add. If not, then it's just on the speed limit and warning signs, and that you would recommend that it stay the same except for that, and go ahead and that's your recommendation to the commissioners.
I'll make a motion to
second.
Include Ned's recommendation there to that intersection.
Okay.
Second.
I'll second.
I heard that.
I'm just looking over that. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Reluctantly.
Okay, last item, annual report. Since I know you just wait breathlessly for this report every year, I'm sure you've noticed that it's basically the same except for all the latest and greatest numbers and Planning Commission minutes. The thing that we usually discuss every year is our local goal, and that is on page 28. I did not change it. You will note that during the last year, 5% of new lots and 8% of residential development permits were inside PFAs. Your standing goal has been, and what you need to decide today is if you will continue it to be 10% of all new development to be located within the priority funding areas. My recommendation is we've always been somewhat close to that number. So as long as we are, I don't see a reason to change it.
Mm-hmm. Like Jeff said about, you look at the numbers, see a lot of zero, and you go, you know, I mean, it's so hard to try to justify some of the things that we're having to justify the county, and then you got zero, you know, and it's like, so you're trying to speculate in the future. How the devil do you speculate in the future when you got zero?
Yeah, growth management's managed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Start zero and work up, right? So.
Yeah.
What else is there to do?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of work. You know, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
See, I think there should be an exception on the law that says we have to do that. That if your growth is, if you have X number of zeros in the document, yeah, then you don't have to do it.
Month after month after month.
You'd have to approve this.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You need
a motion
to
approve. We'll approve
that. I'll second it.
All favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So
thanks for putting that together.
Just an additional comment. It's on the record, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. I guess I'm not surprised, but I was surprised that the sign committee wanted to get into violations or some type of. But I guess it becomes competitive because you don't want your competitor to be able to do more than you. So, I mean, coming from a highly regulated business, if I could eliminate them all, I wouldn't care what the rest of it did, you know. But I was just a little surprised that they got – that makes it more complicated, of course.
That was one of the questions I asked, too, at the
meeting. But I guess it's competition. You just don't want the other guy to be able to have bigger and better.
I think where they're coming from is – you know, I drive down the road and I see this sign and I'm not allowed to have something that big. But like a lot of times what we hear is, well, there's that sign right as you leave McHenry. I'm like, well, you're out of the watershed.
Right.
That's why there's a billboard outside of McHenry. Right. And you don't have zoning out there, then they're not regulated. I can't do it.
That's where the billboards show up and all that.
Mm-hmm. I don't like when the yard sale sign, and Smiley, I know it's Smiley talking about, because I've seen him before. You got the little star, you know, I mean, when you're permitted, they got a permit number. You get down south, you see a lot of that for yard sales. Man, you go, every Tom, Dick, and Harry can be turned in somebody at some point. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a tough one to handle, because
it is.
Well, that would be considered temporary, but maybe it should be ultra temporary and not even regulated. I don't know, not even mentioned.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
One of the things is we're complaint driven.
Yeah.
We don't go driving around looking for violations. I see them. I know there's violations, but if I don't get a complaint, I don't do anything about it, because I don't have. There's no way to do it equitably. Unless you have an enforcement agent that is driving on all the roads, then it's not fair to pick on only the ones that I just happen to be driving right by.
It's in your...
Yeah.
I do like the fact that with if you get a new permit in your business, you know, you're building a permit or whatever you're doing, you get the permit for the sign, at least you can check it off. So that way you can track it when you do your inspections. Somebody said, okay, here's your sign. You know, you can 15 feet or whatever. So that way you can look at it. But when you're trying to do... lease everything else, you know, that's going to be a lot of time.
Then it comes back to, why do an inspection, wait for a complaint and then look, you know? I mean, that's...
We don't get many complaints. Right. And what drove this is we got a complaint.
Right.
So most of the time, everybody just kind of leaves everybody else alone. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, you read through that stuff. It's complicated.
It is complicated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they got organized that quick and they've had that much input. I mean, what do they meet, 3 or 4 times a month or a couple
it
times a
month? It was a couple times a month, but
that's still,
like we said, we made it up.
I saw Morgan Crowley roll his eyes. That's why I said, we got to meet twice a month. Uh-huh. We're like, oh, no.
Yeah. So anything else to vote on, I got to leave.
Current officers, who?
Oh, so
you needed to write that down.
I know, but who's the current?
Current,
chairman,
chair,
chair,
vice chair,
chair,
and
Jeff was the secretary.
Jeff Messenger.
Okay. Does anybody not want the position they're in, or does everybody happy?
It's up to you guys.
I'm fine for where I'm at, and I would like to see Tony still be chairperson. I think you do a great job.
Let's just leave it go the way it is. All in favor?
Aye.
What do you think, Liz?
I'm just thinking. I don't know. Not that I want to throw anyone off. I don't know.
Well, that just means vice chair. That must mean you want one of the positions.
No, I don't know. I'm too busy. I can't do that.
You can be vice chair. There's not
one of the positions.
We can write him down. Okay. We'll write him down.
No, that's okay. We can leave it.
You want to be vice chair?
No, I don't want to be vice chair. I'm just thinking what people.
The only one
that
does anything is him.
No, I want to be the secretary.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're the secretary.
No. I'm
writing your name down.
No, does that kick you off? I thought you were vice chair.
I'm
vice
chair.
Oh.
Jeff Messenger, but he probably won't care.
He's not.
I don't care. I guarantee he doesn't care.
We're going through your setup here.
But
anyway.
Do I have to take minutes? Do I have to do anything?
No, okay. I'll do the minutes. Okay. And record it. Yeah, the secretary doesn't do much for you.
Vice chair either, because he's always here.
Yeah, it's just a matter of seniority. Like, Tony can't be here, then you run. If you can't be here, then the secretary runs it.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
Everybody's okay with that then?
So we don't need to write it down?
Well, I do, but that's...
Okay.
So we'll go write it down, then we'll turn it in that way to be official. How's that sound?
Yeah, okay. Be official.
Okay. Oops. Kevin did his folder there. So.
Someone else did too.
Timmy did. You tell the most proper people to go for this.
Yeah, you're supposed to.
I voted for the others that weren't here.
That's why it always went to chambers, though.
I know.
Our company, if you weren't there, you got voted in.
Yep.
I do have to go.
Next meeting date, March 6th.
There you go. Thanks, folks. Be careful.
We'll be emailing you as I get things from our new project manager. So hopefully you'll see stuff.
Something wasn't set over there.
Oh, that's just like shocking.